Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I am a feminist, but last time I met up with Deborah, I was wearing a new top, and every fifth minute I felt desperate for her to mention that I looked pretty.
Is that true?
Okay. I'm a feminist, but some days my life doesn't even pass the Bechdel test. Speaking of which... I'm a feminist, but when I once noticed a guy I fancied standing behind me in the queue in Subway, I put on a little girl voice and twirled my hair around my finger. I'm a feminist, and I passionately believe in the body positive movement, but I also really, really want to look good sitting down naked. I am a feminist... But in my last relationship, I fought to keep up the illusion that women are magical angel fairies by never shitting in his toilet. I'm a feminist, but when I was choosing my last headshot, I showed one to my husband and said, "Does this look a bit Dove campaign for real beauty?" And he said, "No, darling, you look lovely." And I thought, that campaign's failed. I'm a feminist, but I laughed at that. I am a feminist, but the last time I went to meet an ex-boyfriend, I wore a top with a very deep cleavage, which is why I needed Deborah to tell me it looked pretty.
It really did, though.
Thank
it looked
you.
So
you should
great.
Have maybe mentioned that.
I know it did. It looked so great. And you look so great tonight as well.
Thank you.
I love that.
There's
I
no one
that.
In that I need to impress, so it's fine. Doesn't
well,
matter.
This, I'm
it's
here.
All
what do you mean there's no one in you need to impress?
No
what
men.
About me?
No
what am I, chopped liver? Like, what? Why is it better to impress a man than me? I'm a feminist, Penises. But I'm going to have a fight with my guilty feminist about how my value in life. I'm a feminist. I'm a feminist. And I think catcalling is sexually aggressive and wrong. But I am still capable of hearing, "Hey, sexy!" And in one clear thought, thinking, "That's terrible, still got it."
I am a feminist, but I once said to a man, what do I need to change about myself to make you love me? Yeah, we'll end on that one then.
Live from London's West End, the Spontaneity Shop presents The Guilty Feminist with Sophie Hagen and Deborah Francis White. And tonight's special guest, Chappico Sandy.
And Sophie and I challenged each other and ourselves to do things outside of our comfort zones. So, Sophie, what was your nudity challenge?
Let me just start by saying we had a very casual conversation about this topic, and we would kind of say we could, I guess, we could challenge each other. We could, I don't know, like Deborah said, I could do this life drawing thing, and I don't know, like have 30 strangers paint me nude, and I said, yeah, maybe, and then we. I got a text the next day from Deborah basically saying, yeah, I ran out and had 30 people draw me naked.
That's not what happened.
Basically, and then I was like, so I now have to do my challenge. So that was not just a joke we had. So now I had to do mine.
She did have to do a challenge because I went ahead with my
challenge. So quickly. Like, so quickly.
It wasn't that fast for me.
Because then I couldn't be like, hey, do you want to not do the challenge? It's really challenging. It's really challenging.
Look, the challenge happened at me. Do you want me to talk about my challenge first?
You know
in
what?
That case?
I would love to first hear your relationship with nudity and your body.
Okay, all right. It's not great, I'll be honest with you. I'm not a naked person. I just feel exposed if I'm naked. So I'm the kind of person that will get out of the shower and I have a robe on a hook. Like, I'm home alone, gang. I'm home alone, but I'll get out, I'll pass the mirror and I'll try not to see myself out of my peripheral vision, grab that robe, put it on and put it around me. I do not shower at the gym. I just go home after the gym. I just go.
Shower at home.
Yes, I do shower at home.
It's very, hygiene is very important, Deborah.
Sometimes with my clothes on, whatever. But I don't walk around at home naked like some people do. Some people go, oh, isn't it great to just walk around naked? No.
You're scared of being ugly naked guy.
I'm scared of being ugly naked guy. I'm scared of, in Friends, that's a Friends reference if you've never seen it, of somebody looking in the window. I just know it's not anyone else seeing me. It's just the feeling of being naked. It just makes me feel a bit exposed, and I think I notice my flaws more. And I'm angry with myself as a feminist for thinking they're flaws. They're not flaws. My legs aren't flaws, they're legs. I was very addicted to Trini and Susanna in the noughties, and they constantly told you how to hide your flaws. And they would say, like, I'm a cello in the Trini and Susanna shape Bible. And all the famous cellos are black. I've got a like a black girl's body.
Is that the same as Pear?
No.
I only know pear and apple.
Don't. What's the difference? Dare you?
What is cello like
that? I'm a pear.
What's the difference then?
A cello? Look at the cello. A cello is in proportion.
No, but is that a part of the apple pear cello, which would not make sense? Or
no,
is
they're not all fruit in Trini and Susanna. They're not all fruit. They've got a column. They've got an hourglass. They've got a. I don't think they do a pear. They definitely do an apple.
What am
they're
I then?
They're much more banana. I don't know.
A drum. Am I a big drum? What am I?
A drum, Sophie. I don't know. I have to look. I'd have to look in the Bible. I haven't looked for a long time. But yeah. So when I watch, when I looked at the Trini and Susanna Bible, it would always say, if you're a cello, this is how to look more like a column with your clothes. And if you're a column, this is how to look more like an hourglass. And it would always be trying to look like a thing you weren't. And I think for many years I was fed a diet of cover your flaws with clothes. And I really would like to get to a place where I go, take off the clothes and see what's there. Like, why is it a flaw to have hips and a bum and thighs? It's not a flaw. It's just a bum.
I apologize for the language I'm about to use, but then how the fuck did you do your challenge then?
I struggled, obviously. So this is. Do you want to hear about my challenge?
Yeah, I want to hear about it.
So I said to Sophie, maybe what I could do as a nudity challenge is be a life drawing model. So that means you go to an art class, you take your clothes off, and all of the artists draw you. Now, I didn't mean that. That was obviously just a thing to say to sound impressive at the meeting. that I thought, you know, in a meeting, you think, what can I say that sounds really good? And so I said that. Now, then I went home and I thought that would be a very hard gig to get. It's not like those jobs are going to go all over the place, left, right and centre, are they? So I just signed up to this website. I think it's a website so that to make sure your booking is kosher. So that you don't end up in a creepy basement with a man going, yes, I'm an artist. why don't you have an easel, sir? Oh, the art's in my head. I can see it now. So just bend over. So I know that's why I joined the website, guys. So that didn't happen. So I signed up to this website and they emailed me saying, you've got an audition. You've got to audition. And I didn't want to do that. So I just ignored it and thought I'd just say to Sophie, oh, I tried and it didn't happen. And then genuinely, I mean, that's no, I did. I thought, just ignore it. Just pretend you didn't sign up to that website. Anyway, then I got a call from a lady going, you can audition either this Wednesday night or next Wednesday night. And then she was on the phone. And then I felt like I would have to just go, I don't want to do this challenge and lie. So I thought, well, this challenge is now coming at me. I have to do it because it's really embarrassing to say I just didn't. And eventually I just got an email back saying, come next Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9:30 to a room across the road from Holloway Prison. Bring a robe. And I thought, oh, that's odd. And when I got there, another lady was there and she led me into a loo and said, just strip off except for your dressing gown and then come through. So I went through into this other room. There was a plinth in this room and there was a beautiful, beautiful young woman there. She was 20 years old. She was sitting naked, draped so artistically on this long stool. And she had down her body the most elegant tattoos I'd ever seen, just spaced, beautiful, glamorous tattoos. And these long golden locks flowing over her shoulders. And there were about sort of 20 people all sketching her and drawing her. And then the very sweet lady turned to me and said, would you like to take your robe off? And I just thought, no. No, I wouldn't. I would hate to take my robe off. Nobody told me there was going to be this incredibly glamorous, beautiful young woman that I had to stand next to naked. I'm sure I would have remembered that. I just thought, what am I going to do? And then social embarrassment means you just do it, don't you? It would be so much worse to leave than to do it at that point. So I took my robe off and I sort of stood with my front to the women and my back to the men because that's the way the room was divided. And I thought, okay, I'm naked. They're not. That's all right. That's all right. They're naked. I'm not naked. But yeah, nothing's changed. No one seemed to react. No one raised an eyebrow. Nobody changed at all. Nothing's happened and I'm still naked. Oh, I'm naked, still naked. Okay, this is all right. The worst bit is actually getting the robe off. Apparently it's worse. And then about 5 minutes went by and the lady said, okay, we're going to switch poses now. Deborah, maybe you'd like to lie down. And I was like, what do you mean lie down? And she was like, she dragged this mattress across the room, threw a piece of velvet across it and said, recline. And I was like, oh, reclining. And it was right in front of the men. And because that's just where the spot was, not deliberately. So I sort of got down in a sort of way of trying to kind of cover myself as I got down. And then when I lay down, I just thought, okay, you're just going to have to do this. So I just went the full Kate Winslet Titanic. I put my hands behind my head because I thought, you know, the breasts look perky and the stomach goes in. I put my arms behind my head and I sort of put my knees up because I thought that sort of was a sort of, it felt discreet without being embarrassed, do you know what I mean? And I just lay there, full out, open, tits out. Yeah, Jack, paint me like one of your French girls. Fuck yeah. But the thing is, the more I lay in that power pose, which is what it was, the more empowered I became and the more exciting it was. And it was actually genuinely thrilling. And I just thought, I'm definitely doing this again. This is absolutely brilliant. And then they said, OK, switch poses. After about half an hour, switch poses. You sit on the stool. And I went, oh, no. Because sitting, I mean, who looks good sitting down naked? It's not, it's bad. It's terrible. So I let Sophie, for the podcast listeners at home, Sophie is putting her hand up.
Arrogantly.
So I crossed my legs and I leant over and I hid my tits and my stomach because I thought, well, they're not going to look as, you know, and I'm just, oh no. And then I sat there for 20 minutes and it was dreadful because it was a shame pose. And it was saying, I'd rather be covered, but I have to show you. I'm basically doing nakedness badly. I'm pretending I'm not naked and I'd rather you didn't see. And that felt miserable. And so I thought, right, I'm never doing that again. When we move poses again, I'm not doing, because I had to sit there for 20 minutes. I desperately wanted to move and go, okay, it's all right. Just see it. Just look at it. Yes, my stomach is not concave. Okay, look at it, stare at it, draw it, record it. But I thought, I can't, I've just stuck like this. And it was really like a learning pose. But what was weird is, as I was sitting there, my eyes could move and I looked down and I saw a picture on the ground that someone had drawn. And it was a picture of a woman lying down. And I went, oh, she's got a nice figure. And I realised it was me. It was such a revelation. Yeah, it was. I just went, oh, that's me. And I've got it, if you want to see it. So now, Standard Issue has put these pictures up. So if you're podcasting from home, you can look on Standard Issue under my Guilty Feminist nudity column. So this is the picture that I saw. Now, some people are looking at me like, it's not that nice a figure. But it's nicer than I thought it was going to be, and I think that's what we need to take into account.
No, no one's looking at you like that. Yeah. Like, not a single person thought it's not a nice figure. That's in your head. Well, not a single person thinks that.
Put your hand up if you thought it's not as nice as I thought it's going to be. You built it up too much. No, they're
See,
not going to say
that. Not a single figure.
Okay, so that was, and I thought that, no, and I was like, oh, wow. But then they said, we had a cup of tea and a bun, and that was weird, to be honest. It was like, slip your robes up, slip your robe on and have a hobnob. And I was like, I don't really want to have a hobnob with anyone here, to be honest with you, except Lucy, who was the other model. I was happy to have a hobnob with the naked person, not really the clothes people. And in fact, I think Lucy's in tonight. Lucy, are you in? Yay! Yay! There's Lucy. And Lucy, you will see in a bit why I was intimidated. But she was so lovely to me, and she said she was doing it because she was an art history student. Is that okay to say? Then they said, we want to draw you comparatively. So they'd been doing different people had been drawing one or the other of us while we've been posing. They said, we want to draw a two. And I just thought, oh my God, I'm not on for that, actually. Because now I have to sit on a chair, just both of us had to sit neutrally on a chair, staring ahead, and they're going to draw us comparatively. And I just thought, she's 20, she must be half my size. And now, instead of seeing that and thinking, oh, that's quite nice, there's going to be a picture of me like that and a picture of what looks like a Lego doll next to me. It's like a Barbie. And I'm like, oh, bloody hell. But I thought, I can't say no. Again, you just can't. It's just too embarrassing to say, I don't want that. So I sat there and I didn't cover myself because I'd learnt not to do that. And I just sat there feeling really miserable. And I just thought, well, just don't look at the pictures because that'll upset you. And I thought, that's not the challenge. The challenge is not don't look at the pictures. The challenge is be happy with how you are. And I thought, well, I'm not happy with how I am. So what? And I looked down and I saw this picture of the two of us. And I was really shocked because whoever had drawn us had drawn us basically the same. And I thought, that person is obviously bad at perspective. And then I went round the room and I forced myself then to look at the others. And everyone had drawn us about the same size. And I thought, well, maybe I'm bad at perspective. And maybe I don't see myself the way other people see me. I mean, the thing is, I mean, I think I almost want to measure me in Lucy just to demonstrate that I'm right. But I don't want to at the same time because I feel it will make her feel uncomfortable as my guest. All right, so this is The Guilty Feminist. Now, this is our very first one. This is our inaugural one. So when we're bigger than Lena Dunham, you can say, I was there when you could get a ticket. To be honest with you, because you're our inaugural audience, if any of you want a ticket for the really big ones, you know, when it's the O2 and people are queuing for 48 hours overnight to get a ticket to The Guilty Feminist, if you DM me on Twitter and say, inaugural audience, I will always make sure you're in the front row. That's right. This spot here, sir, what's your name? Fumi, yep. This spot is always yours, Fumi. Okay, always. But the thing is, Fumi, you can't really be a guilty feminist. We can be a guilty feminist. All you can be, Fumi, as a man, is a smug feminist. It's so true. When men tell you they're a feminist, they tell you, like, you know, I've done the washing up. Look at that. I'm a feminist. It's a bolt-on for me. Don't have to be. Just am. Do you know why? Because I love the ladies.
Because here's the thing, is when you did your, to me, because I was on the outside, I didn't follow all your thoughts about this nudity thing. So to me, it was like within 30 seconds, you just ripped off your clothes and ran in between 30 drawers and just like, bruh! So I was like, holy, I did mine. You did yours, what, like a month ago?
Mm-hmm.
I did mine yesterday.
She did cut it close to the wire, listeners.
I was like doing my phone calls on Sunday because my challenge was to have a boudoir photo taken, a nudie pic. And so I did my calls on Sunday going, listen, if you can if you can make it before Wednesday, that would be really good. I mean, I totally get it if you can't. I mean, I'll just have to do something else. But then I found this website. They're called Carlo and Fabi, this Italian couple who are absolutely amazing. And their whole website kind of promoted body image and how, like, you know, curves. And they have this whole campaign called Untouched, Unretouched Beauty, where they don't retouch the photos, which is in itself sounds terrifying. And I called them, and he was really lovely. Carlo called me and he guided me through it. And I explained to him that it was not, to me, nudity is not about, like, the terrifying thing for me has never really been boobs or vagina. It's been, because it looks quite, it's fine. And if I have to say so myself, and I do, because I couldn't get anyone to quote. I said, for me, it's a stomach. Like, that's my weak part. That's the harsh thing. Like, if I'm ever naked with a guy, it would be fun to try. When I'm naked with a guy, I will take parts of my top off, like down below my breasts, and I'll like pull up my skirt. So I'll cover my stomach with the piece of clothing, which they don't mind. That's not the part they usually want to see. But my stomach's a weak point. I found out that men, when they're interested in me, they'll like subconsciously like just touch my stomach, and I get really like, oh no, he's touching my stomach. And I'm quite body positive. I talk a lot about body image on stage, so it's quite hard for me to tell this guy I feel weird about my stomach, but I want a photo where I show my stomach. That's the whole point, is being having a nude stomach in front of strangers and having the photo taken. And these are some of the thoughts I had before I did the challenge, and I apologize. The first thing I thought was, it was Sunday, and I thought, oh, so I probably shouldn't eat anything till Tuesday. My first thought, I was like, what kind of a body activist are you? Then I thought, you know what, because I was panicking, I thought, you know what, fuck Deborah. She's probably she probably loves herself, and she's just doing this to punish me. There probably won't even be a podcast. She just wants me to suffer. Why does she hate me? And then I thought, can I wear my slippers in a nude shot? Because I like my slippers and it would make me feel more comfy. And then I thought, which I think is quite interesting, I thought, how can I make the shot funny? I considered drawing a face on my stomach. Which is, I think, is psychologically, it's really interesting why I couldn't just be like a nude woman. I had to be the comedian about it. Then I thought, because the photo shoot was at 9:30, and I thought, can I get drunk at 9 a.m.? Then I thought, should I shave my thighs? And then I thought, after the shot, I thought I probably should have shaved my thighs. How do you do that? If they're wobbly, it's really hard. Anyway, so I did. I went there, and they were very nice. These guys are used to taking photos of women who are not that comfortable with their bodies, which a lot of women, unfortunately, aren't. They were very, very nice. We took it very slowly. It was really interesting. I don't think I ever felt 100% comfortable, but that's not on them. That's me being naked in front of people, and it was weird, and it was a lot of focus on like being feminine and being a woman, and I'm not comfortable with that either. But I have the photo, and I had to choose a photo this morning, and I wanted to choose the photo with the most stomach, because as I said, that's the most important thing. So I found even the one that had the most stomach didn't have enough stomach, and none of the photos had enough, because we never did that full. I talked to them about it afterwards, and I said, do you often get people who say, you know, oh, I just show everything, and then when you do that, they get sad? And they said, yeah, all the time. All the time people will say, just, yeah. But then as soon as they show them the photos, the women will be really sad and say, can you cover that up? So they, you know, that was how the pictures came out. It's still quite, it's unretouched. Just saying.
It's very beautiful. I'm looking at it.
You know what? I'll show you. Don't worry, guys. Don't take any photos. And yeah, what I want to say is what I'm the most embarrassed about. I actually don't mind the stomach. What I'm embarrassed about is that they made me, like, I'm looking down, like, in, like, this really, like, what do you call that pose? Like, really, like, oh, just dreamy in a futon and in the sun being all nude waiting for my husband.
I would call it coy mermaid.
Yes, and I am not that.
No, so it's not just... really a pose I've ever seen you do when we've caught up for brunch, I'll be honest.
Same clothes, though.
I think what you did was so much more exposing. I cannot even begin. I would not...
But I didn't show everything. That would have been...
Yes, but I was in a room full of strangers, and it's really hard to capture everything on with charcoal, isn't it? They're amateur artists with charcoal.
It would be really mean if they started doing, like, scars and stretch marks.
They didn't even draw Lucy's tattoos. They're just not... They don't have that kind of time. So
it's. I thought it was scary because I was asked questions like, do you have anything you want to hide? Like I was doing the unretouched thing, but they were like, should we hide you? I have a lot of scars on my knees. So like, should we hide them? But when I saw the photos, I was like, I love that you can see the scar. Did you notice I wore my slippers?
Yeah, so that's just the photo as it was.
Yeah, that's how I looked.
It was incredible.
It was. I'm happy I did it, and I can recommend it. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about feminism because I'm a woman, and I'm a woman who sometimes say things on the internet. I know. That's a risk, isn't it? I found out this week, and I've lived in your country about 3 years, and this is the week I found out the main difference between regular YouTube commenters and The Guardian commentators. Holy shit. Right? So regular YouTube comments on every single thing I ever do on YouTube will be something like, you're fat. Or, you're fat. And then nothing more. English is not my first language, but I'm pretty sure that's not correct. It needs to be, what is it about my fat that interests you? And I'm pretty sure Y is capital. It doesn't matter, but... So, you know, they like to tell me that, in case I hadn't noticed, I'm fat. It's interesting, isn't it? Like I hadn't been told that from the age of 8, because I'm a human, and in this world. Oh, one of them, my favorite YouTube comment, I actually thought was quite clever. It was the same topic, but it was one word, spelled with the capital first letter and a period mark at the end, which makes it classy. It just said the word Snorlax. Does anyone know? Do you know? Yes, it's the fat Pokemon. That's fucking hilarious. I don't care what you say. Because I had to Google it. I had to research my own, online abuse. I was like, Snorlax. Oh, I bet that's a compliment. You're like, oh, it sleeps 23 hours a day and only eats. And I think it has, does it have doesn't have a hand, has a fork for a hand or something like that. It's like the most amazing Pokemon. I didn't know it existed. I only know Pikachu because I'm not a fucking moron. But so I did the Guardian interviewed me. Thank you. Woo, it's fine. It's fine. I'm just really famous now. And so I was like, oh, I'll read the comments because that can't be bad. Right? It's the Guardian. It's the guy. Oh, you all knew. I had no idea. I thought they'll be nice and... They'll be like, oh, that's wonderful. She speaks a second language. How we should all be like that. I assume that. This is what a man said. He said, sure, her material is funny, but you can sense an underlying sadness. Holy shit. That's a whole new level. There's such a difference between, hey, you're fat, and then, remember when your dad left?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Shall we bring Shappy on?
I think we should.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Shappy Khorsandi. Shappy,
I feel like I know you all already. I've been staring at the backs of your head. You're so pretty.
Shappy, you've done that life drawing thing. How do you feel about nudity in general?
Well, I did life modelling paid the rent before stand-up paid the rent. And
how long did you do it, Chappie?
15 years.
Seriously, 15 years of your life, you were a professional life model?
Yes.
Wow. So you must have been very comfortable with your body.
Well, what happened with me was I wanted to be a stand-up. And I worked in a call centre. So what I did was I just lived at the comedy clubs. I just went to comedy clubs all the time, every night. And my brother had a very beautiful actress girlfriend who was a life model. And one day she couldn't make a session. And she said, can you go instead of me? And I went, oh, my God, naked. Are you joking? Sophie, totally related with the stomach thing. Because I never used to I used to not enjoy myself during sex because it was all about a battle to avoid them touching my stomach. And I used to be a lot bigger than I am. I used to be, big enough to... Well, I went to a party at university and someone said, is Shappy here? And I heard whoever they asked, and, oh, is that the fat Asian girl, right? So I was big enough to have men call out in the street, oi, fatso, oi, lump of lard, incredible bulk, all that. So anyway, I said, I will do it in her stead. And when the day came round, I freaked out because I never did nudity. I used to dread the summer, absolutely dread the summer. And my brother said, if you can get naked in front of a room full of strangers, then you can do stand-up comedy. And I was like, ah, la, la, la. And so I did. And the thing is, they didn't specify bring a robe. First time I did it, I didn't take a robe. And when you don't take a robe, in the breaks, you're just the naked person. What I found about life modelling is... if they're not drawing you at all other times, it's entirely inappropriate to be naked. You know, it's a bit like if you're a stand-up and the audience aren't listening. You're just a mad woman in a corridor shouting. So it really helped with all that kind of stuff. And but for me, with body and stuff, I think what kept me... exercise when I was in my 30s, I discovered that this can move a little bit faster than I had been moving it. I went through divorce. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that. But the thing that kept me sane was running through Richmond Park. I started off with Zumba. I'd never exercised in my life. I went to Zumba. And then after a while, it was like, oh, my God, your fitness goes up a bit. And when I started exercising, I had a renewed respect for my body, and it became about, wow, you can do this. You can run 10K. You can do a half marathon. Fuck you and the horse you rode in on. I don't care if you think my ass is fat or sailing out or anything. And I stopped sort of being so proud. This is my guilty feminist thing. I don't have any stretch marks, and I've got two children. And I would parade around, the boyfriend I had, waiting for him to notice that I didn't have stretch marks. And he didn't have kids. And he never slept with someone who'd had them, and he didn't know it was a big deal. And I'm horrified that it mattered to me that this same boyfriend, I was at the Edinburgh Festival, so I'd had my boy, and I'd been running a lot and exercising, and I took my clothes off, and he went, I can't do Australian accents. Will you do this for me?
That's right, yes, I will.
Okay, so if you can say, fuck, you're in good nick.
Fuck, you're in good nick.
And I shagged a 19-year-old this year.
And I shagged a 19-year-old this year.
So, The fact that I continued a relationship with that man is something I feel horribly guilty about. But I felt a little bit proud, like, yeah, I'm as hot as a 19-year-old and I'm 38. Yeah, then I had my daughter. Yeah. Didn't ping back into shape the second time. I don't resent her. She's worth it. She's cute. But no, I was really horrified because I thought, I'm over it. I'm over it. I don't give a shit. I'm a runner. I don't care what I look like. My body is my body and it does stuff. It runs. It has babies and it does all that. And then with my daughter, the pregnancy wasn't as much fun because I was single. That was nice. And and then when she came out, it didn't go back. The belly never went back. And people had two babies, they went to me, you see. It's very different the second one. And I had a cesarean as well, and they went, you see. And I've had to deal with postpartum body and reading articles on the internet about dealing with your postpartum body. Still with stretch marks, though. Can I stress that? But the belly won't. It's just not. My shape's changed. And that's it. That's all right. That's all right.
Did your body confidence get better and better the more you did life drawing or?
Yeah, I couldn't give a monkey's about nudity now. I could get naked now in front of you. I don't care. I don't care. I'm absolutely fine with nudity and other people aren't. And I have to remember to put clothes on in my house when the delivery man comes. I don't care. I can't express how much I don't care anymore. And I tend to have boyfriends who are a lot younger than me, only because they're the ones that go out. You know? And I am aware that they're probably, you know, let's say my boyfriend is a lot younger than me and all of his girlfriends have been in their 20s. And I have to sort of just go, well, that's okay. And realising that it's not a flat tummy that men fall in love with. It's always baffled me, and it's happened too often in my life. I think I went through a very weird 5-year patch between when I separated from my husband and to when I started to behave appropriately again. Because for 5 years, I don't think I behaved appropriately. And in that 5 years, I had bizarre encounters and relationships with guys who sent me pictures of their erect penises.
Yes, this is a
and
really
these
pictures weird thing.
Would so arrive out the blue. You know, I would be washing the dishes or you know, playing with my child and an erect penis would come in. And I just don't know on what planet they felt that's going to make me drop everything, run to the bathroom and have a moment with myself. Because that never happens. It's
I
not an erotic
thing. I agree.
I
think if they sent a picture of themselves like in a well-cut suit,
yeah,
with a French cigarette, or opening a door for an old lady in a naval uniform, or sort of, I don't know, in a kilt with a puppy. That would be more
puppy.
That would be more pornographic for me than just a cock. It's just like there's just got to be a story or something. It can't just be or an idea, a concept. But I just think for me, porn really has to involve some tailoring.
But if they send it uninvited, it has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with what you think and what they want you to do. If it's uninvited out of the blue, usually they just want you to see it. It's like what do you call, like the men on the tube or the bus who will just
like a flasher
pop it out. Yeah, that one of those. It's like that. It's just they just want to know that you've seen the penis. I for some reason receive a lot of them, and I was almost jealous that yours were all erect. I've gotten flaccid penises.
Yours not even bother. That is such a discourtesy. That's disrespectful.
Talk about inappropriate behaviour.
I went out with a girl. We didn't send each other sexy photos, though. And, like, it would have been really odd, I think, if she'd sent me a picture of her tits. Because as women, I felt, in my relationships with women, we don't objectify each other in that way. Oh, she's coming around. I'm bringing those tits. Oh, I'm going to put my face in those tits and go... It was great and it was hot, but suddenly those rules that I'd had in heterosexual relationships didn't apply anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of come out in lingerie, like stockings and suspenders or anything like that. It would have been really odd. I found out going out with a woman that I find soft cotton Marks and Spencer's pyjamas really erotic. Oh.
Yes, the slippers.
Hashtag slippers.
Genuine, I agree with that. But it's interesting because we're running out of time. But this relates to one of the topics we wanted to discuss, which is how women, like the female body is sexy and the male body naked is really funny.
This is why I went to one hen night when I was 21. I've never been to a hen night since. Like, my dearest friends have written to me and gone, listen, Shappy, it's not that kind of hen night. I'm like, no, is it going to be a bunch of girls celebrating your last night of freedom? I can't come. I'm sorry, I really can't. And it was because I was scarred by a hen night so badly. I was in this bar. Before mobile phones, there were these bars where you could call other tables. Yeah. And it was like the sexiest thing to ring up and go, hello, I'll fancy your mate. Right? I was at a table with all these girls on a hen night. And often at a hen night, you don't know the other girls. They're strangers to you that you'll like have to have a laugh with. And every single one of those girls at the table got a call from a guy from another table, except for me. There was a girl who was 8 months pregnant. She got a guy call. I became this weird secretary, receptionist, picking up the phone. And then after that, we went to this club where this naked person called Red Electric came on, and he took all his clothes off, and his body was all oiled. And out of everyone, I was the one that was least. I was just standing there going, I can't cope with this. I want to go home. When is it like polite to just go home? He grabbed my hands and rubbed them over his oiled buttocks against my will. Now, I have obsessive compulsive disorder issues, right? And the whole time I'm thinking, what strength of bleach is going to sort my hands out after this? And I burst out crying. It was just the worst thing ever. And I just don't do nakedness. I can't look at someone naked and go, four. It's just weird for me. Anyway, thank you for coming to this.
But just one quick thing I wanted to ask you about, because I'm really surprised that both of you said that you, and I didn't know this, I kind of didn't know this about other women, that you have in the past or now feel not comfortable having sex without your clothes on, and that you want a bit of something covered, because I've had that a lot and I thought I was odd. Can I just ask the audience, genuinely, can everyone close their eyes? Just close your eyes. If you've ever felt that feeling of wanting to have a bit of lingerie or something covering a bit that you didn't like, if you've ever felt that in bed, could you just go, mm? Wow. If you've never had that, could you go, women? Okay, interesting. Men, if you've ever had, I want to cover up a bit of my body, could you go, Any man? Okay, well, that's interesting. That's really, really interesting.
Sorry for swearing.
Yeah, because I didn't know that about other women. I thought I'm a bit odd like that, and I've sort of learnt to do it, and sometimes I do and sometimes I don't, and sometimes I think, oh, it's going to be odd if I don't, and all that kind of thing. But and sometimes you feel you don't care as much. But the fact that every woman in this room by one has had that experience of it would be, could I just keep something over this bit, or could I keep my nightie on and just sort of pull the sleeves so you can touch my breasts and you can feel underneath, but you don't need to see everything, do you, for this to be enjoyable, is very, very interesting to me. And I feel like it's brand new information. And when this goes out, when this podcast goes out, I bet we'll get a lot of tweets of women saying thanks for saying that. So thank
and
you,
please
audience.
Please do, for the people listening, please do tweet us. We'll create like a Twitter account and we would love to hear from everyone. A massive thank you to Shappy Kasandi.
Yay! Yay!
Very kind.
Thank you
fun.
So much for coming. Let's have some questions from the audience.
Lady in the front row.
Ooh. Oh. Front row.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I only saw one.
I feel so guilty about it.
Oh, God, I feel really guilty now. I've said front row and you've said back.
We are going to say back and then we'll...
Okay. Maybe it's the same question.
Oh, God. Isn't that's so women, isn't it? Let's hope we're saying the same question and then no one's lost.
Sorry.
Yeah.
But if we're all walking around feeling guilty, guilty feminists, and we're bringing up daughters and sons, and you said the next generation hopefully won't feel like this, but they're seeing us acting like this and talking about this, and how do we make sure that they don't grow up to be...
You, mum?
Yeah.
Right, so when you have a toddler... You are, there's no one on earth that toddler would rather be with.
Tell them about the Christmas list. I saw this on Facebook. It's the most incredible thing. Tell them now. It's amazing.
My 8-year-old boy, just to give you an... Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I might claw my face off while I tell you this, but when he was 3.5 and I was going through an incredibly stressful time, did I mention I'm divorced? I screamed at him as I got him ready for nursery because he was being 3.5, right? And I screamed at him and he went, "You're not angry with me. You're angry with something else, but only I'm here." Oh. Right? I've lost about 10 years of my life, I think, that moment. No, he wrote a Christmas list. I was like, what have you written? Is it an Xbox? Is it? And he wrote, you know, tickets to a football match, a new dressing gown. Because his dressing gown's still got like bunny ears, and at 8 he feels he's too old. And then number 6 was you to stay off your phone for a whole day. And then at the bottom of the page he wrote a little asterisk and wrote, number 6 is the only one I really, really want. So I've come off Twitter.
Shappy, what I loved about it though was then she took a picture of that Santa list and then she put it on Facebook and wrote underneath, "I've immediately gone on my phone to share this." I think really? The answer to that question is
sometimes you should feel guilty.
But oh, sell it now, sister.
For listening to the Guilty Feminist podcast. Our next recording will happen on January 20th at the Rada Studios.
Please come and join us for an episode on food and an episode on apologising. Please join us live at the Rada Studios in London.
We need some challenges for those.
We do.
I was thinking, let's do the food one first. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how you usually eat. Do you... Do you keep yourself occupied as you eat? Do you do other stuff while you eat?
Yes, I do.
For a week, you cannot do anything else whilst eating. I know exactly how hard this is. I've never, ever eaten
I will
without.
Try to do that. Okay, does anyone have a challenge for Sophie for food in this audience that they think would be a good challenge? Because mine would be to go and sort of order 3 things off the dessert trolley and just eat them and enjoy them.
I take it.
No. Challenge, yes. Lady in the front row.
This sounds really bad. Do you masturbate?
Masturbate.
It means to go to a restaurant by yourself and to sit and willingly eat a lovely 3-course meal in a restaurant without another person there.
Yes, I do that. You know what, actually? Maybe that's... Do you do that? Is that a fear for you? The eating in public and stuff?
Yeah, it's...
So maybe we should just change challenges. Maybe I should do the mindfulness because that's probably why I told it
you
to
do
you
mindfulness.
Because that was my biggest
all right.
fear.
All right, you do mindfulness.
Fuck.
And I will go and sit and eat cake. I've really come out on top.
No, but do you have a fear for that? Do you have a fear?
Yes, the fear would be to go into Haagen-Dazs and eat one brilliant thing, take ages ordering it, eat one brilliant thing, enjoy every spoonful, not feel guilty about anything, and walk out. And apologising, what I'd like to do is ring a sort of... like someone like, you know, maybe a TV producer or something like that, ask for a meeting or pitch an idea or something without apologising. So I want to ring up and not say, sorry if I'm bothering you, or, you know, if you've got time. I just had a thought, I don't know if it was worth mentioning.
Done before.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
What would you like to do?
I think I would say go a week without apologising, without being apologetic.
Can I need to read the ending of this show out for the podcast. Can we quickly do that? Because I really want to go to the bar. I'm very happy to hear any other questions as long as the first one is red or white. You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with Sophie Hagen, me, Deborah Francis-White, and our special guest, Shappy Kosanti. The recording engineer was Chris Sharp. The producer was Tom Zelinsky. Thanks to Fabi and Carlo Photography, as well as Pete and everyone at Rada Studios. For more information about this and other episodes, visit www.guiltyfeminist.com.
This is all very personal now, isn't it?
Yeah.
This This is the problem with podcasts and radio. You forget that it's not just us
in
this room.
We can edit out anything you don't want going outside this room, and we'll just make a pact that we won't tell the worst excesses of
just
Shappy
Cassandy's. Just the dyslexia joke that died. If you could just... that. Everything else is good.
Definitely.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.